patience is a virtue, right? Well, it's not really hard to figure out what people mean when they say that. They're trying to say that patience is a good thing. You should have it. Well, then why don't we just say patience is a good thing? It'd be easier to say, right? Or what about the saying, virtue is its own reward? That sounds really high and noble, but what does it really mean? It's a little bit more nebulous because the concept of virtue is maybe a little bit hard to grab hold of and really understand what it means. What is virtue anyway? I think it's one of those words that everybody knows, and everybody kind of sort of knows what it means. But if you had to, you know, just stop at any given time and say, okay, here's what virtue means, here's the definition, I don't know. It's a little hard. I'm not sure I could just stop and do it. Well, let's take a look at a scripture that mentions virtue, and then maybe we can pull out of it and a couple others an idea of what virtue is all about when it's talked about in the Bible and what it should do for us as Christians in our walk with God. Let's take a look, starting in Philippians 4:8. Philippians 4 and verse 8 says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. That's a beautiful verse, and for the most part, it's really easy to figure out what Paul's saying here. It's an intuitive verse. We can all probably identify true, or noble, or just, pure, lovely, praiseworthy. Those are all pretty concrete concepts, but right in the middle, there's virtue again. How do you tell if something is virtuous? Well, if you look in an English dictionary, you'll get something kind of along the lines of pertaining to high moral standards. Okay, that makes sense, and we'll see that that definition definitely does fit into here, into what Paul's saying, but the word that Paul actually used when he was writing this book in Greek has a much broader meaning, a much broader application for what it actually is getting at. The word that Paul used when he wrote this book means excellence of any kind. It's excellence. Paul said that if there is any excellence, that we need to be thinking about it. Now, it's a word that was used in a lot of different contexts in a lot of different ways in ancient Greece. And basically, all it meant was that whatever a person's place in society, whatever their job was, whatever function they had, they could do it virtuously, or they could do it with excellence. So if you're a runner, and you train every single day, and you get out there in the cold, in the snow, in the sleet, and you put forth the best effort that you can, race day comes, you run as hard as you can, and you win that race, you did it with virtue. You practice virtuously. You practice excellence in that sport. Or if you're a writer and you wrote the best book that you've ever done, and every chapter just flows and it's all wonderful when you get done with it, you practiced virtue and excellence in your craft. It really just means doing the very best you can with whatever it is you do. And it's a pretty rare word in the New Testament, actually. It's only used in three books. But I think if we look at those three books where this word is used, we're going to get a sense of what it actually means, what it could do for us, and how we can think about virtue, think about excellence, and then practice it in our lives. But we already looked at the first one, and that's the only time that Paul used the word. The other two places where it's used in the New Testament are both by Peter. So let's go ahead and look at the first one in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, we're going to read verses 9 and 10. And here Peter's talking about us. He's talking about the people that God has chosen, the people that he showed mercy to, the Christian people. And he says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So it's not very obvious, actually, in the New King James Version what we're looking at for here. So let me read it again to you in the New American Standard Bible because it translates this word that we're looking for more literally. It says, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. There's that word again. The same word that Paul used back in Philippians. It's excellence, virtue. He's saying that part of our job as Christians and as a light to this world is actually just to tell people about how excellent God is, about how excellent his work is, how excellent his plan is, and how excellent a future he has planned for them. Let's take a look at one more scripture. This one's about us and what we do. It's in the next book that Peter wrote, 2 Peter. Second Peter chapter 1. We'll start reading here in verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which we have been given, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice what it is that Peter's encouraging us to actually do here. It's an action that we can take, and he's saying we need to take. He's saying that we should add to our faith virtue, or add to our faith excellence. What does that mean? How do we do it? Well, I think what Peter's just saying here is that when we have faith in God and we have faith in Christ and we have faith in what they're accomplishing in us and the plan that they have for us, it's our responsibility then to emulate the way that they do things. How does God do things? How did Christ do things? Well, we read back in 1 Peter that we proclaim the excellencies of God. God is excellent, and everything he does is excellent. He does everything with virtue. He does everything the very best that it can be done. His greatest work is in you. It's in me. So we need to think about our lives and the duties that we have to God, the duties that we have to other people around us. Do we seek God's will in our lives with virtue or with excellence? Do we have excellent prayer lives? Do we talk to God in an excellent way? Do you have excellent Bible study? Are you really striving for excellence in the way that you treat people in your life? Your husband or your wife, your kids, your siblings, your classmates, your coworkers? Is there excellence in the way that you care for other people and show them love? What about at work or school? I mean, we're told in the Bible that whatever our hand finds to do it with all of our might. That's talking about excellence. That's seeking excellence in every facet of life, not just in the spiritual pursuits, but in the physical as well. We're called to follow our great God. We're called to follow his son, Jesus Christ, in everything we do, following their example and emulating them. And that means pursuing excellence in everything we do in honor of them. I hope this has helped you to just grasp hold a little bit of what can be kind of a nebulous concept in virtue, and maybe to attach to it some firm ideas of what it means for you and how you can apply it in your life, why it's so important for us. It doesn't just mean thinking good thoughts or being positive or something like that. No, it's excellence. It means hard work. It means concerted effort to put your best foot forward in everything that you find to do, first in your service to God and to Christ, and then in your service to your neighbors, your boss, your spouse, your kids, your friends, the people that live next door, everybody that you interact with every day of your life. So if there's any virtue, if there is any excellence in the world, think on it. Do it. Proclaim the excellencies of God, everything that he does for you that is truly excellent, and then live in a way that you follow his lead in striving for excellence in everything you do as well.
Thank you very much, Mr. Bizek.